Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You are tuned into the Nafs Connection podcast with me, Seema Azmat, aka Umrayyan. I'm a certified professional Nafs Connection mentor coach and an Islamic practice facilitator. I coach Muslim moms live a fulfilled life connected to their fitrah and tawakkul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the fear of judgment or failure. We are in season 2 of the Spiritual Connection Stories series. Listen to me talk to my guests about their spiritual connection stories, their pivotal moments, inspirations and aspirations with regards to their connection with themselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with an hope that this creates an inspiration for you too, inshallah.
Guest today is Ummarwan Ibrahim. She is a mother of three, born and brought up in Dubai, settled in India. She has completed her bachelor's in Islamic studies from IOU. Currently, she is studying Tafsir of the Quran from Al Manar International Academy. She is an author of the children's picture book, Dawood Loves His Books, as well as a copy and developmental editor of Islamic works of fiction and nonfiction. Welcome, Ummarwan. Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself, inshallah?
I go by Ummarwan Ibrahim. And as you had very well introduced me, alhamdulillah, I was born and brought up in Dubai, have been there for my entire life. It was just a couple of months ago that we shifted to India. And so 30 years of my life there, alhamdulillah, lots of things, learned, lots of experiences. And now, alhamdulillah, different sort of experiences. And along the way, I had a lot of experiences in terms of my spirituality as well. Mm. And, right now I'm freelancing as an editor. I have been since 2017. And I would say it's a passion of mine, alhamdulillah. And, what I really love about it is how, alhamdulillah, I'm able to tie, Allah has guided me to tie my passion for words with Islam, and alhamdulillah. So that's what I do right now. Mm-hmm. And I also am busy with my kids, three kids, all under the age of 5. Alhamdulillah. And yeah, so that's about it, I guess.
Alhamdulillah. And I can speak for you because I've worked with you in the past, and you really have a way with words, mashallah, alhamdulillah. So I think let's just get started with the topic. So my very first question for you is, what was your earliest understanding of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is?
What was my earliest understanding, or when was my earliest understanding? I have to think about it.
Yeah, I generally ask what, because what was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you, in that sense?
Right. Okay. So,
and probably you could earlier on just add in the when as well.
Okay. Yeah, I think it'll automatically come in, inshallah.
Yeah.
What was Allah, the entity, who was he? Mm. To me was, I think earlier on itself, parents, they brought us up in a sense where we were able to really be conscious of Allah in our dealings. And I don't mean it in a negative sense, as in, a lot of fear and just like be very careful, see he's always watching, that sort of a thing. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, they gave us that sort of an upbringing which had a really good balance. And I guess at a point, especially in our teenagers and stuff, when shaitan can affect us easily, or we're very vulnerable to going in a different direction and a wrong direction, especially in those teenage years, my parents actually gave us a lot of freedom, alhamdulillah, like to meet up with friends and stay out until like certain time and stuff like that. And every time they did that, they would always mention that this understanding was there, and they would occasionally even verbally, actually explicitly say it, that, you know, we trust you, and beyond, you know, just our control over you, Allah is always watching you. So, you know, we know that you guys understand that, and you will be, you know, doing things accordingly, because Allah is always there with you, right? That's sort of an unsaid sort of a thing, you know, would really give me a really good understanding of who Allah was, you know. And besides that, even the fact that He's always there, you know, He's always there as a support. That was there early on itself, I guess, because major role of it obviously goes to the parents. You know, they really brought us up in that sense. So alhamdulillah, that was a that was, I think, the seed that they sowed, right?
Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. I'm hearing you say that there was a lot of awareness of who Allah is, as in, even though He's not there, and it's like ihsan, like, you know, even though He's not, you cannot see Him, but He's seeing you, and being mindful of that fact that He is always watching you, and in turn, like, you were mindful of your actions as well. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. Very true. Yeah. I love how you use the term ihsan, you know, from Islam, you know, our Islamic principles, mashallah. Yeah, very true. Yeah.
Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. So, I just want to know, like, what was, we all go through trials, right, in our life, tests and trials. So was there any moment in your life when you felt like there was, the spiritual connection was missing? And if not, like, how did you, like, find your balance in such a situation?
So for me, spiritual connection did go... there was a bit of a disconnect I did feel during my high school years, my high school and I guess middle school, you could say, when there was quite a bit of disconnect, actually, because it was, you know, I guess that's the age as well. But for me, I had, like, I would pray, alhamdulillah, I did pray, never missed prayers. But the connection wasn't there. It was a very routine, just a monotonous thing. And the other thing was with the Quran. I would hardly read the Quran, recite the Quran. You know, I used to, in fact, at younger years, I would recite the Quran, and I would actually, every Friday, we made sure to recite Surah Al-Kahf and everything. But during my middle school years, and mostly in the high school years, actually, that connection wasn't there. And it's also the friends that, you know, surround us, right? The peers, the influence. And, you know, subhanAllah, I was out of all of the friends that I had, I was the least outgoing and stuff. But even then, you know, it really goes to show how peer pressure and everything really influence you. Even then, I would sort of get influenced, and not in terms of any practices as such, you know, even if there was all these parties that my friends would go to and there would be mixing, alhamdulillah, I never took part in those. But just the fact that me being in that sort of a presence and not in a righteous sort of a presence, you know, presence of, you know, friends, my mindset and my attitude, you could say, was not very Islamic, you know. At the least, it was sort of laid back. That's what I could say, you know. Alhamdulillah, I never really progressed into anything worse or something major. Alhamdulillah for that, you know. It's truly from the mercy of Allah and from the guidance of Allah. You never know, right? You never know with kids at that age, especially. So for me, that period was when there was a lot of disconnect. And simply put, you know, I wasn't conscious. The consciousness that I was talking about earlier, you know, with my parents and how they brought us up. During those years, there was absolutely, it was the complete opposite. There was absolutely no consciousness of Allah and, you know, just Islam and the practices, the reason and the wisdom and the beauty you know, it's not even the reason and the wisdom. It's actually just the beauty of, you know, why we do what we do. Mm. That was a very disconnected sort of a phase that I was going through. The only thing, you know, only thing was that it was the upbringing, the internal thing that my parents, my family had put within us, that is like me and my siblings, that sort of kept me rooted. That was the only thing that sort of kept me rooted, you know, subhanAllah. So I guess that's what it'd be, you know, that phase, that time.
There are two things that, you know, that come up for me hearing that. Is one is that I couldn't help but compare the teenage years, like, you know, that of our times to the teenage years of the at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like how subhanallah the major sahabas around that time were all youngsters, you know, who were teenagers and who were young. And this is a fitna of our times. And I feel like, you know, subhanAllah, even for myself and me growing up, I was nowhere, although, like, you know, being brought up into a Muslim family, although, like, we were being told to pray and to fast and, like, all these things were there. The Islamic environment was there in the house. But along with that, the connection was not there, you know.
Right. Absolutely.
As a teenager, I was completely disconnected. So I can relate to what you're sharing about that age. And I see that it's a continuing, ongoing thing even with the youth today. Like, you know, they are still disconnected. And it goes down to the company you keep, you know, subhanAllah. And it kind of lays that emphasis on what kind of company you have, what kind of friends are you having. And it's not just the company of people, but I also think that it is the company of the books that you have. Like, you know, what kind of books are you reading? What kind what are you watching online or on TV?
Very true.
You know, subhanAllah. All these things, they have this influence on us and our psyche. To say.
Very true.
Yeah.
I when you had asked that question, initially I did have this point as well, which I forgot to mention, but it's amazing that you bring it up, because that was another thing, which is, and in one sense, I was sort of laid back with regards to, you know, the Islamic practices and stuff like that, which is a very ritual, monotonous sort of a thing. Mm. And on the other side, you know, my days and my time was filled with just a lot of nonsense, actually, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what it was. It was just meaningless, you know, a lot of... you know, books which had absolutely no good in them, you know, this it's not going to really bring you any benefit, or movies, and, you know, this sort of the culture, which was, and it's not like a, you know, one-off sort of a, you know, passing the time sort of a leisure thing, but it was like a very constant, you know, waste of time, a constant waste of time that could be used for anything productive, you know, subhanAllah. That was very predominant, you know, just a lot of time wastage, basically, which reminds me of the hadith, you know, which says that, you know, your youth, it is something that is really important to use before you, you know, attain old age, and even time, you know, before you lose it. SubhanAllah, it really ties into that.
True, very true. SubhanAllah. The second piece, as I was mentioning before, that stood out for me in what you shared, Umarwan, is that about how you said, like, what was keeping you grounded was, to some extent, was your family, you know, your siblings, and also the foundational teachings of what your parents gave you.
Yes,
so, yeah, I think this is so key, you know, in the way we grow up, because I guess, like, one of the reasons why there are so many distractions amongst the youth these days is because of the kind of avenues that are created for them, you know. In our times, when we were growing up, we had a lot of, like, I think it was the beginning of the westernization of, you know, even like whatever we were watching on TV, like, you know.
Yeah, like, true, very true.
The sitcoms and those kind of things. We were like, even MTV, Channel V generation, like, you know, we were like so hooked on to these kind of things.
Oh, wow.
And Bollywood movies also.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So that influence was so predominant for us. But if you look at like the generation now, it is something else which is replaced. Like, you know, and I think more so, it's more so a challenge for the youth today because of the accessibility that they have to these kind of distractions. So, and I think like it's the pull of the nafs is easier than the restraint, you know. So, subhanallah, I can...
Allah protect us all and protect our kids.
So, my next question is like, what was... Like, okay, you went through this period of disconnect, but what changed for you? What was the turning point?
Okay. The turning point that I can think of right now may sound a little silly, but in retrospect, you know, I really think that was... that was a huge turning point, you know. Subhanallah, that part of my life had really affected and impacted my life to a huge extent, which is basically, so I'm doing my 11th grade, right? And this is high school. So imagine my, you know, the state that I've mentioned, you know, about the entire mental state and the attitude and the lack of spirituality and all of that. So this was 11th grade and I just did my rehearsals. So I did CBSE. So we have rehearsals. You have the boards in 12th grade, right? So that was like a rehearsal that you get in 11th grade just to sort of prepare you for your final year in school. So during that time, I had scored really, really bad marks. Like, and alhamdulillah, I was initially like, you know, throughout my... right from the beginning, KG, primary, even secondary, I would say up to secondary and actually just about secondary, I was a really good student, you know, sort of good scores and I would really concentrate in classes and stuff like that. But when it came to, I said 11th grade, it's not 11th grade, it's 10th grade. 10th grade rehearsals for boards, yeah. So that's when I... You sort of really had a moment when I had scored a really, really bad, really horrible marks in several subjects, actually. And that was very shocking to my parents because I was not this sort of a student, right? And then I sort of, I think that sort of pushed me, woke me up a bit that I have to be, I have to concentrate more, you know, I have to really get my... everything straight, you know, have to get my life straight because at that point that was life, you know, your studies and your scores. So I really had to do something about it. And that's when with my, you know, sisters and my brothers, alhamdulillah, I'm the youngest. So I've got older siblings who, mashallah, did and still do, you know, look after me. They take care of me. But alhamdulillah, when they were there to sort of guide me and sort of help me and support me in some way or the other, I sort of came back out of it and I actually became studious again. And so I would, and this is like CBSE boards, which is huge and you need to spend hours. And I spent nights, you know, after nights studying and I would lose sleep because of that. I'm not encouraging this sort of a, you know, study pattern just to clarify, but at that point, you know, that was how we had to do it, you know.
Yeah, it was very normal for us to be this.
Exactly.
I have burned the midnight oil as well, like, you know, back then. So it's like, it is like, this is the pattern that is expected of us.
Exactly.
Like, I think parents are much more lenient these days.
Yeah, I think because we went through that, we don't want to put, you know, our kids through that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so at that point, it wasn't even this shift, actually. It was because of this shift that I had a shift in my spirituality. Because, and as I said, this may be a little silly, but at that point, what I thought was, why am I slaving so much for studies that may not even benefit me 5 years down the line, let alone 10 years down the line? Why am I, this was the thought process that I had, and I had so much of, I wouldn't say hatred. It wasn't hatred. I was just fed up, I think, I was very fed up with having to cram and spend my time and wait. At that time, I felt that was waste, you know, even though I was pushed to study and become studious, I still felt like I was just spending all my days and all my nights for something that's not going to help me in the hereafter. SubhanAllah, that sort of a, you know, in a feeling, it was definitely from Allah, SubhanAllah. And that's when I thought that I have to do something if I'm going to be slaving over stuff like this. And alhamdulillah, I actually scored really well in my maths then, which was 99 out of 100. When I had scored earlier on, it was close to 60 something. It was just past, you know. So with that, you know, that sort of a mindset, I'm like, if I can do well in this thing, you know, why am I wasting my efforts on something that's not going to help me? And I'm not saying that we don't need any of these subjects, but the intensity in which and the hardship we had to actually put ourselves in to, you know, get good scores, I had sort of a mental shift, you know, a mindset shift where I thought that if I could do that for this, then I could very well do, you know, put in a lot of effort for into studies that would help me for this world and in the next world, you know, inshallah. So that's when I thought that I have to do, I mean, and that's when I decided to do my bachelor's in Islamic studies after the 12th grade. And in the 11th and the 12th as well, I sort of went with that mindset, at least in my studies, even though it wasn't, you know, the peer pressure and all was still there. It was definitely reduced. And after 12th, that's when I sort of really ventured into, you know, Islamic studies and just being able to sort of express and really want to express, I guess, my spirituality. And alhamdulillah, in 12th as well, just because of that, you know, studiousness, I had topped the GCC countries, the humanities stream in the GCC countries. So alhamdulillah, that was another thing which sort of really pushed me to go down this path. You know, alhamdulillah, if I can expend my efforts into something like this and see results, then inshallah, I would want to do that with my sense of, you know, Islam, right? And hopefully, bi-idhnillah, see success in this world and in the hereafter, you know, by Allah's mercy.
Ameen, Ya Rab. SubhanAllah, it's what I can see in this is, you know, it's like we all come to this point, right, when we think that, okay, this has no meaning for me. It doesn't make sense. So I just want to bring up the word that was coming up again and again that you were saying, like, you know, it might be silly, but yeah. I don't think it is silly. It was just like what you were meant to see, you know. That is what I'm seeing. As for you, the moment of Hidayah came like this, you know, something that you were slogging for, which was meaningless to you, and then pointing, like, you know, taking you on a trajectory of something that was more meaningful, which was like, you know, learning something which was for the sake of Allah, and diving into that kind of education. Yes. SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillah.
It was a hawa.
Yeah.
That's a lovely perception.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Because, like, see, if I were to see, like, I talk to so many people, right? And I see that, you know, everyone has this kind of moments when they they make those shifts. Like, you know, that they have some, there is this one point in their lives that, you know, which sometimes they don't know, they don't understand, or they don't see it. In that moment, it's always in that hindsight and in retrospect, they turn back and they see, like, you know, oh, this was the moment, like, you know, that this happened with me. So, SubhanAllah, yeah, even I can, like, you know, I can see that school was never my thing, you know. I never enjoyed school life. School life was something which I hated. And for me, it was something I just wanted to get out of as soon as possible.
Exactly.
And honestly, like, the education system itself, like, you know, it kind of, I always thought that I'm such a loser, you know. I always thought, like, I never really thought that I had anything in me because of because I was not in a system that was, let's say, cut out for me.
Right.
My style of learning, we never had any kind of a thing like, you know, like a style of learning back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, true.
We were all put into the same grind and we were like churned out like, you know, like some kind of robots. But for me, that was like, you know, that was not who I was. So I kind of always was this black sheep in academics.
Subhanallah.
Yeah. Subhanallah. For me, it was always like, you know, and once I came out of school, subhanallah, that's when I actually saw for myself, or at least I started to see that this is not life, you know, this
right.
is not
yeah.
it, and there is more to life and there is more to me.
Alhamdulillah.
But yeah, it was a journey to find myself, but I can totally understand, like, it's okay, like, you know, what I'm saying is, it is not silly to think that, you know, this is not my thing, academics is not my thing, what I, like, you know, you wanted to pursue Islamic studies, and that's alhamdulillah, I think that kind of hidayah came very early on for you. Subhanallah. Allahumma barik. Ameen. Ameen. Yeah, subhanallah. So I was wondering, like, you know, right at the moment, like, now that you got into, like, you know, you knew what you wanted to do and you got some clarity with that, now that you are, like, you know, you have this knowledge of Islamic knowledge and, you know, also implementation, are there moments where you feel that, you know, you are stumbling?
It's of course, actually. There are lots of moments where I do feel like I'm stumbling. And now, I mean, the difference between before and now is that right now, the times that I feel that I'm stumbling is when I, in terms of implementation, you know, because alhamdulillah, I did my bachelor's, right, and that was in Islamic studies, so alhamdulillah, I gained the knowledge, alhamdulillah. There's definitely, and I still am, and as we all should be, you know, but with what I have already gained, there are many times when I feel like I'm not practicing enough, as in the sense, it's just there as, you know, it's not really, I'm not really practicing as much as I can. So it comes only in terms of implementation, I would say. So, but, you know, what I try to do is, because when I do have those feelings and it kind of brings me down and I feel like it's, you know, now I've sort of put myself in a bit of a pickle, because you know, someone who has the knowledge and is on the same as someone who doesn't have the knowledge, right? So how is it okay for me to have the knowledge and not really implement, you know, I'm more accountable now, right? So when I have those really sort of depressing, it really gets me down at times. And when I have those sort of moments, I just try to, what I try to do is Islamize everything that I'm already doing, you know, because even if I feel like, see, until I had actually begun the tafsir course, which was just less than a month ago, just 2 weeks ago, until then, I really felt like I wanted to get back into studies, because it's a huge gap since I finished my you know, my university, and then I got married and I had kids, and then really they were sort of back to back kids, you know, three kids. And I felt like, and although, you know, alhamdulillah, there is a lot of barakah and a lot of rewards that you get from taking care of the kids, for my own self, you know, for my own sanity, I really wanted to get into studying, back into studying, and, you know, the deen of Allah. And I felt like that wasn't happening at all. So at that point, what I tried to do was just try to Islamize everything that I was doing. So even if I was like cooking or washing the dishes or something, then I would, you know, try to play some surahs and recite along with them, or duas. And alhamdulillah, that was actually when, in that period, is actually when I sort of memorized the morning and evening adhkar. I know it may be a little bit late in my life, but my parents hadn't really talked about that, or they hadn't really taught us about that. They probably didn't know about it themselves, you know, they had their own background and everything.
Yeah.
So the morning and evening adhkar was only after I
got married and had kids. And I felt like I was in such a, you know, slump that that time I felt like I wasn't really actively doing anything. And that sort of the really depressed sort of a feeling that I was talking about was a lot of it was actually during those times, because, you know, I'm physically weak, I'm mentally weak, emotionally weak, and I felt like I was spiritually weak as well, you know. So at that time, that was what actually got me through, you know, my mobile with the YouTube and the adhkar and the surahs. That's how I actually got through. I felt like, okay, maybe I'm doing something, you know, I'm doing something. Yeah. I'm probably gaining some points, earning some points with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, there's definitely, you know, the taking care of the kids and the family is definitely there. But, you know, I guess you really want to see it sometimes. You know, you really want to just do the deed. You really want to just do the adhkar, you know. You want to sit and recite the Quran. But then you have the kids coming in. And so, you know, something like that, sort of, that's what got me through, I feel. You know, and around me, you know, people around me, mashallah, alhamdulillah, they would do stuff. They would be actually doing the things that I wanted to do. But I wasn't able to at that point in time. So those kind of struggles, that's how I try to, you know, to combat them with, you know. Alhamdulillah, right now I really wanted to do some sort of a structured learning, you know, get back into it. And I feel, alhamdulillah, Allah has gotten me into a place where I'm able to do that right now. You know, I'm actually able to get back into that. And inshallah, I pray that even this is not a form of, you know, doesn't become a test for me. It definitely will be, but then I ace it, inshallah, hopefully.
Ameen, 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 subhanallah. Allahumma barik, ameen. I'm just seeing that, you know, what I can take away from what you shared is, subhanallah, one, there will be times like, you know, when you'll be tested spiritually, and then this is what you just said, is such a beautiful way to stay connected. Like, you know, even in the small routine, mundane things that you're doing every single day, just trying to make use of that in a beneficial way by listening to the Quran, or like, you know, listening to lectures, and having that phone, having, like, you know, we do have the phone with us, but like at least making better use of that by, like, you know, at least trying to stay connected in some way, alhamdulillah. And also the importance of having that, being that ongoing student of deen, you know, which is so important, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. And I can, that's something like for me, like, you know, what I'm hearing, like what I heard from you is, I miss that. Subhanallah, I miss being a student. So, and because, like, you know, subhanallah, I think it's like, some of the things like what we discussed, Umarwan, is one of the things is like, you know, having that backbone, like, you know, support in the form of family or friends, like, you know, a good friend.
Very true. Yeah,
that, you know, that who remind you of Allah, who bring you back to Him, like, you know, who help you turn towards Him. And then being this person who is like, at least, like, you know, having some kind of a touch, and sometimes, like, you know, the study becomes your companion, the study of the deen becomes your companion, subhanallah, and that keeps you rooted, like, you know, and not going astray, subhanallah. It's like such beautiful shares, mashallah. Allahumma barik, alhamdulillah. So just to wrap things up, I just want to ask you, like, if there was one thing you would want our listeners to take away from this conversation today, what would that be?
One thing to take away, I guess right now in the moment, what I can think of is, you know, whatever it is, I feel like, okay, two things. One is that, you know, your time will come, you know, subhanAllah, with regards to, you know, the studies, right? It was, for years, I really craved it, and I didn't see it happening, you know. I honestly couldn't see myself getting back into, you know, studies. And even though, you know, people around me, my friends, you know, they all are, mashallah, they were very involved, and because they didn't have kids as small, or they had kids who had a really good age gap in between them. So, you know, even though I really craved for it, and even though I could see others doing it, I honestly couldn't see myself doing it, you know, subhanAllah. I couldn't see a time coming like that, you know. But alhamdulillah, it did, you know. It just did, alhamdulillah. And that is a big, big eye-opener for me. And the other thing that I'd like everyone to, or rather I'd like to remind everyone, is that, you know, whatever happens is for a reason. I know, as cliche as it may sound, but subhanAllah, that the reason being that it's not just a reason, but actually is for your good, you know, it's for our good. And that is the essence of the qadr of Allah, you know, that what He has already decreed for us is actually for our good. So if we lose something, if we have lost something or someone precious to us, you know, as hard as it may be, it really is for our good. And, you know, even if we get something which we didn't really want which we loathe, somehow or the other, it really is for our good, you know. But ultimately, what we would be accountable for is not for what we get and we don't get. What we would be accountable for is how we use or how we react or how we, act with the things that He has given us, you know. And why I'm saying this is because it sort of ties up everything, or in my mind at least, it does. Whatever we talked about, you know, subhanAllah, with regards to family, with regards to peer, and, you know, whatever situation, whatever factors and whatever external things which we have no control over is put in our lives, we are ultimately not going to be accountable for them. But what we would be accountable is for how we used those friends, how we used time with us, you know, whatever we had, all the risk that He has given us. Every single thing that He has given us is a risk. And how we use it, that's what we would be ultimately accountable for. And that's what would actually, be a means for our success, or the opposite. May Allah protect us for the hereafter, you know. And even mobile, for example, even that is a risk, you know. And how you had mentioned that, you know, using it in the right sense, you know, you never know, the mobile could actually be speaking for us on the last day, right? So, alhamdulillah. So this is what I thought to share.
Alhamdulillah. Such beautiful reminders, such beautiful takeaways. I'm sure even for our listeners, there must be so much value and benefit that they would get from this conversation, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. And just to wrap things up, if anyone wants to get any of our listeners wants to get in touch with you, where can they find you?
So you can contact me at my ID. I don't know. I'm sure you would be placing it somewhere, Seema. Yes, my ID. Yeah. I'm available on Instagram as well and Facebook as om.marwanibrahim, and I have a WordPress account as well. Which, you know, has my products, like the books, children's picture book, and the works that I've done and the services that I offer. And even if you just want to simply pick me up and just say salam, even that would be great, inshallah.
Inshallah. So yes, I will be adding these things, all the information in the show notes, inshallah, of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And that was a lovely, lovely conversation. Jazakallah khairan, Marwan, for being here.
Jazakallah khair. I'm honored and I really appreciate you inviting me. Jazakallah khair to you as well. And I hope it benefits people, inshallah.
Barakallahu fiki. Likewise, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You were listening to the Nafs Connection podcast, brought to you by Level 10 Muslimah Life Coaching. To learn more about me and how you can work with me, visit my website www.level10muslimah.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram under level10muslimah.life.coaching. Stay tuned for more stories. This is your host, Seema Azmat, aka Umrayyan, signing off. Until next time, stay blessed.